Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology, celebrating 30 years as local hearing healthcare professionals. With a practice featuring 5 doctors of audiology, including 2 who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient. They believe those personal partnerships are how people embrace hearing technology and keep hearing the most important sounds of their lives. More information at bnaudiology.com. Bloomington Normal Audiology, here for you.
This is WGLT election coverage on Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Throughout the campaign season, we are conducting interviews and forums with the candidates in different races. And today we're doing something a little different. McLean County Democratic Party Chair Nikita Richards and her Republican counterpart, Connie Beard, are joining me to discuss their positions on the graduated income tax proposal. Nikita, let's start with you here. Do you think voters should ditch the flat income tax and move us to a graduated or a progressive income tax?
Well, first, thank you so much, Ryan and WGLT, for having me and for providing viewers with this opportunity. I truly appreciate it. The fair tax reform is favorable amongst voters with 2/3 of Illinois citizens' approval. It's common sense, it's necessary, and simply the right thing to do. As the chair of the Democratic Party, I am proud to have publicly endorsed the fair tax amendment proposal, because we believe that our economy should be restored on the basis of equity and not on the backs of the working poor. Frankly, opponents who are in opposition of the fair tax amendment proposal and who want to avoid paying their fair share just don't have good arguments against it. So instead, what typically tends to happen is that there's this misleading segue of voters, you know, and this misinterpretation of the proposal. And frankly, I'm looking forward to this conversation and to having this discussion so that we can clear the air and promote facts and not fear.
And Connie, what about you? Do you think voters should approve this change to a graduated income tax?
Well, I'm grateful too, Ryan, that you've opened a door for us to have a good discussion. And I'm appreciative of Nikita taking time to join in and hear both sides. As chairman of the McLean County Republicans, I do believe that there are many flaws and issues involved with the progressive tax amendment as proposed, both in content as well as in the manner in which it's been presented and the format that's being used for voters to decide. So there are several different particulars that I'm hoping we'll take time to look at, that when you talk about the facts and about the truth of the issue, that this is an opportunity for us to share that. And I look forward to getting here a little bit deeper into the nuts and bolts of this amendment.
Well, I'll turn this first question over to Nikita. You know, critics have said that Democrats have historically mishandled the state's finances. And there is some truth to that. Democrats have generally been in power in the state of Illinois for many, many years. And here we are with the state budget situation and the deficit the way it is. Why trust them now on something this large?
We have an administration under Governor Pritzker that understands the importance of righting yesterday's wrongs. This administration under Governor Pritzker's leadership is taking a bird's eye view into the ways in which we haven't always handled things in the best interest of all, and really focused on making and creating a fair tax system. They're interested in doing the right thing, and I have full confidence that we will do just that, which is why I am a strong proponent of passing and voting yes for the fair tax amendment proposal. Under this amendment, we're estimated to bring in an increased revenue by $3.4 billion. And if this amendment, and I'll say faithfully, when this amendment is approved, the new graduated tax rate will take place as early as January 2021. So again, I have full confidence and have witnessed just how diligent this administration has been to make and create a fair tax system for Illinois.
Connie, this next question would be for you. In times that I've interviewed other Republicans in the past, office holders, the point I've heard is that, you know, making this change will open the door and make it easier later to raise taxes on like middle income Illinoisans. And the thing I've never understood is that it seems like lawmakers could raise taxes on middle income Illinoisans right now if they wanted to. So what difference does it make whether or not we're in a graduated rate environment or a flat rate environment? Lawmakers could just do it anyway, regardless, right?
Well, the difference is with the flat rate, They are, it's evenly distributed. That's actually the flat rate has been the preserving element in our tax system that has helped Illinois gain whatever advantage it can, because it's a rate that has been very hesitant by official legislators to change, because they know that when they change it for everybody. And it is, in that regard, really more fair, because it is a across the board impact. And so that's held legislators back from raising it in the past, fairly, at least to some degree. I mean, there's some issues where they had the in 2011, when they passed the extra what they called a temporary hike in our income tax. 2017, they made that temporary hike permanent. So there again goes back to speaking back to how you can trust our legislators to really not find a tax they didn't like. In the flat rate tax, it's done that. So when we're looking at the graduated system, it's actually one of the things that I hear very little spoken to is the fact of the bracket system that goes with this. The legislators will have the opportunity to change the tax rate with a simple majority, as opposed to 60% of the vote now. So with a simple majority, which they have a supermajority in the House. So with the simple majority, they can change the tax rate, but they also, what they can do is change the tax brackets and move them up and down the scale so that, and they can turn to voters and say, well, we didn't raise the tax rate. That's true, they didn't raise the tax rate, but you move the tax bracket so that a different component, a different segment of our population now become part of one bracket that they were not part of when this was initially put in and the first round of proposals that the Pritzker and the administration have been given us, that it won't take but another less than a year where they could choose to move those brackets and be able to include a different segment of our population in those tax rates without changing a tax rate. So it's a really a deceptive amendment, especially, and I hope we can talk a little bit about how it's presented on the ballot, because that is one of the true disservices to the voters, is how they're reading this and seeing this on the ballot.
Please, let me chime in here. So earlier when I mentioned misleading facts, I think this is a great example of that, because the truth of the matter is that the Fair Tax Amendment proposal and the Fair Tax Amendment once it's passed will give legislators no more or no less power to change or alter the tax rates than they already have. So there's no shift in power here. That's actually extremely misleading. And so, you know, where we hear opponents of this want to say that this is a blank check, that's not necessarily true. And let's just be reminded that there's not going to be much wiggle room, because the fair rate bill was already passed by the General Assembly last spring. So let's just be clear that, and let's talk about facts here. You know, the majority of working people are paying more than their fair share. The lowest 20% of Illinois taxpayers per household are paying a 14.4 tax rate, which is ridiculous when you see that the top 1% of Illinois taxpayers benefit from a 17.4% income tax rate. This just isn't right. And there's no way that our frontline and essential workers should be forced to pay the same tax rate as million and billionaires.
So Nikita, let me stay with you for this next question. There are a lot of business groups that are opposed to this idea, including the McLean County Chamber of Commerce. Their argument is now is the worst possible time to increase taxes on folks, you know, who have businesses trying to keep their doors open, their teams employed. What is your response to opposition from the business community to this?
So I myself understand firsthand what it means to operate a small business. I started my small public relations firm back in 2011, and I totally understand what it takes to continue to support brick and mortar businesses. And so I empathize with our business owners. I understand, and I'm looking and working diligently with state and community leaders to rectify some of their concerns. But let's just be clear here. You know, the majority of small businesses are not bringing in $250,000 annually. And what this proposal is talking about is the increase on that income. To those earning $250,000 or more will see an increase. 97% of Illinois tax filers will see a decrease or either no change to their current tax rate that they're paying right now. So I think it's important for us to remember that that number, the small business owners will not see an increase of tax rates if they're not earning $250,000 or more. We need strong communities for our businesses to succeed, and the fair tax will generate additional revenue to fund our education system and other critical programs, making our state a magnet for people to work, live, and raise a family.
Connie, what is your take on how this could affect Illinois' business climate?
Well, I think the fact that the business entities from the chamber to farmers and other groups have stepping up and trying to shout from the top of their voices that this is harmful, that this is going to create at a time. I mean, even Barack Obama has said
that
taxes when there's a recession going on.
Fair tax amendment is supported by AARP and Legal Women Voters and organized labor support.
I'm sorry, I would not going to interrupt Lakita, let her have her time. So I would appreciate a return of letting me just say give my points out. That the tax brackets that are easily moved back and forth, promise of never voting again to move those brackets has not been made. And I don't think even if it was made, we have no basis of believing that yes, it was passed in the spring. Once this amendment is passed, there is nothing voters can do to stop it from being moved again at the will of the legislature. No way to prevent it. It removes that requirement of all of the state voters approving that change. So we need to be able to understand that once this door is open, and you can see what's happened in other states when that door is open, that there's nothing that can be done. Connecticut and New Jersey just went from starting off with a teaser rate of 2.59%, and now they just went to a rate of 10.9% in this last year because they were able to make those decisions and move. And the ability to move those brackets up and down, the legislators can keep saying, oh, we didn't raise rates. And that's not necessarily the issue. The question is, what group of the segment of our population falls into those brackets? And those things can be moved and changed. You may think that you're not going to be impacted, depending on what your income level is now. But when the money coming in is not sufficient to fund the increased spending that is being proposed, and many sources have said that that's not enough money that's as proposed by this last bill that was passed to establish the rates and the brackets, that when that happens, we won't be able to have any way to stop the expansion of those brackets and the expansion of that tax rate.
Yeah, go ahead, Nikki.
Going back to the supporters, and Connie, my apologies for interrupting, but I just want to make it clear that, you know, you talk about the business owners that are not supporting this, but, you know, from a national standpoint, again, we're seeing AARP, we're seeing Legal Women Voters, we're seeing organized labor support this proposal, supporting fair tax. And again, as I mentioned previously, in Illinois, we're seeing that the approval rating for the fair tax amendment is very favorable. You know, 32 states, in addition to the District of Columbia, have a graduated tax system, right? Even our federal government operates under a federal tax system, a graduated tax system. And so I find it hard to believe that if it's good for these individuals, states, then why would it not be good enough for the Illinois people of Illinois? Illinois is behind the eight ball. Let me finish. Illinois is behind the eight ball here, right? As one of only 9 states that still have a flat tax income rate. One of only 4 states to mandate a flat tax within its state constitution. So again, I mean, we're far beyond the eight ball. It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to come into our own. And I find it interesting when you say that this is not good or for our community and for our state, because the proof is in the pudding, and the facts are there, and I think it's high time that we move forward.
So Connie, let me I'm going to ask you this next question. Illinois has quite a large budget hole right now. One of the more compelling arguments in support of the graduated income tax is necessity. This is the only way, in their view, of supporters to right the ship. The budget passed last year. I think even that depends on about $6 billion in borrowing to make that budget even work. So how do you balance a budget if you don't do this? Because it's making small cuts. It seems like a hard thing to cut your way out of.
Well, the reason that we are in this position that we're in right now is because our legislators and lawmakers in Springfield refuse to take care of business. They refuse to adjust their spending. They refuse to deal with the pension reform that needs to happen. And then one of the reasons that a flat tax is an advantage is that the voters can demand, before they give you more money, you need to fix the problems that we have. Pouring more money into the system has proven over and over again that it's not working. And when they asked for taxes back in 1989 and packed the temporary tax hike, that was supposed to take care of problems. It didn't. The money kept pouring in, but the problems still were not fixed. Then in 2011, the same thing. Well, we need more money. Money was poured in and the problems still weren't fixed. There's no track record to help us believe that this somehow or other is different.
And Connie, what you're talking about there is a hypothetical, right? What you're presenting is something that could happen. You're predicting that these things could happen. But the truth of the matter is, as you mentioned yourself, we don't know. You talked about all the things that you perceive to be omitted from this proposal, but what you haven't mentioned is what is actually included. And that is the power of the legislator to right the wrongs of yesterday and lighten the burden upon the middle class and all those who are in a position to attain or attempting to attain middle class status, lightening the burden from them and allowing them to have a fair tax system, and to allow those higher earners in our state to pay their fair share.
Nikita, I want to talk a little bit about retirement income. A lot of the discussion around the graduated income tax this week has been about retirement income. I think that traces back to a thing that happened in June during an appearance in front of a kind of a chamber of commerce. Democratic Treasurer Michael Frerichs said that one consideration for adopting the graduated rate amendment was that it could allow the taxing of retirement income for those who could afford it. So opponents of this tax change have really used that against you. What was he talking about, Michael Frerichs, and why hasn't he cleaned up his remarks?
Well, I can't speak to why our state treasurer has not attempted or made any changes to his remarks. I'm not him. But what I can say is that, you know, for those who are concerned about pensions being taxed, the retirement funds being taxed and penalties and so forth, the truth of the matter is this, that Illinois does not tax retirement income. And with this proposal, the Fair Tax Amendment, that will not change. So that's a non-issue. And one area in which our taxpayers who are receiving pensions and our senior citizens can rest assured. And that's one of, you know, I think about the support that AARP has put behind this Fair Tax Amendment. I highly doubt that they would do so against their best interest.
May I speak to that, please, Ryan?
Yes, Connie, please.
One of the things that was omitted as part of the amendment, and sadly, when people go to the ballot, they can't read the amendment itself. They're reading a paraphrased description of the amendment. When you look at the actual changes of the amendment, they strike out the one tax rule that is part of what's the protection element of our taxing system. That's been struck out. So it removes the barrier of holding only to one tax, our income tax. With that barrier removed, there is nothing to stop our legislators, our lawmakers, and specifically, it can add whatever tax measure they deem needed, whatever tax measure they seem appropriate. And there is no protection And even though we had several Democrats, such as Rahm Emanuel and Senator Daniel Bliss and the current state treasurer came out and said, well, we may have to consider taxing retirement income.
Connie, let me ask you, though, Nikita made a point there about the AARP of Illinois. I mean, that organization went out of its way this week to try to defend the graduated income tax proposal. Why would they do that if it was putting their constituents at risk? They have not been shy about bashing things in the past that they don't like.
Well, the leadership of the AARP, that's a whole nother issue. We can have a whole nother segment on
what
the standing is of the AARP. And as a person who can qualify for AARP, I could sign up. I could be part of the group if I wanted to. I think there are other underlying reasons, both for them and for the unions, because the unions are fearful of pension reform. And so it's understandable that they want this graduated tax plan to come in order to draw money from segments of our population and target segments of our population, which is really a punishment tax. It becomes a punishment for succeeding in this community, in our state. If you're successful and have a higher income, then you're falling into that. And all it takes is over 200,000. And for a small business, and I know there was a statement made about, that's hardly, the majority of the small businesses are not going to be impacted. But what you're setting up is that the majority of the small businesses dare not succeed enough to reach that $200,000 level, or they're now going to have to pay the higher taxes. So in a sense, that's a suppressive state of their tax code that is discouraging achievement and growth and progress. So it becomes a punishment that if you succeed and break into that next bracket, you're going to have to pay more. And therefore, we're discouraging new businesses coming into the state. We're discouraging entrepreneurs to try to get started and launch new things. And the businesses that are already in place are already wondering, how in the world are we going to handle this new tax rate? And that's the detriment to what already a struggling economy in Illinois.
That's McLean County Republican Party Chair Connie Beard, joined by her Democratic counterpart, Nikita Richards, on a graduated income tax. You can find all of our election coverage at our website, wglt.org/election. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas today on WGLT Normal.